We are starting camp days. And part of that is actually part of the Methodist tradition, is the early gatherings were called camp days. For traveling was much harder, and so getting together was less frequent. So when you did, it was super important. We forget the privileges of today's world. And that gathering together is such a gift. There are wonderful substitutes if necessary, but there's nothing that replaces that face-to-face sharing in that moment together, especially worship. So I thank you for those who are here today, making that decision to be in person. There is such a gift to presence. And in this world, we have so many distractions that sometimes even when we are physically there, it's hard to be there. We're caught up in the past or running the script for tomorrow that we miss the now. I'd like to share from you the Gospel of Matthew. Our theme for camp days is the church body, which our call to worship, that's going to kind of be our theme song throughout these camp days. You'll see them show up in different ways in the worship service. That we are the church. That the church needs every one of us. And we've seen simple examples that I couldn't be in here right when we started. And Corey being fully present. And I said, can you do the announcements? And he goes, what? And I said, can you do the announcements? And he's like, sure. I don't think he realized that wasn't like rhetorical. That was like, you're going to go do them. And when you're present, you can take on some of that. But if your mind is a mile away, if your heart is 3,000 miles away, it's very hard to be here. And the world will do everything to pull you from where you are. So we are really celebrating the presence of heart, of being fully present. I think that is one of Jesus' strongest gifts, that whatever he is thrown, he's there in that moment. So if you'd please join me in that Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, we're going to start with verses 13 through 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. As I said, one of Jesus' greatest strengths in all of his ministry, at least the scriptures over and over reiterate this, that Jesus was present. So the very first verse I read to you, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Usually when we hear Jesus is going away, it's to go spend time with God, kind of a reset, a moment to connect. It doesn't exactly say that here. Now, he might be meeting with God, but now he heard this. If you had read earlier in the chapter what he had just heard, was John the Baptist had been killed. If you've ever received that devastating news, A, losing someone you love, B, in a horrific manner, you might need a moment too. And grief is very tricky, it's very personal. Some of us can hear the news that we lost a loved one and go into such a shock that we just continue on, like it hasn't even registered, whether we're in denial, whether we just are like, I have to keep this together because when I fall apart, I will fall apart. Some of us will crumble the minute we hear it, we're done, we're out of there. And some of us will just go numb. There are many different ways, and how you react to grief is personal and no judgment. Jesus heard devastating news and needed a moment. But he was Jesus. And so upon hearing this, crowds gathered to seek him out. Have you ever had your world flip upside down? And then somebody wants something from you? In my humanness, I'm still carrying the grief, the load, the challenges. It could even have been just a simple bad day. That your coffee pot stopped working, your toast got burned even though it was only on a minute. You went to go plug in a curling iron and shocked yourself or blew a breaker. You get out to your car and it's out of gas or a flat tire. Those days happen. And then somebody calls you. You might have already agreed to do this, but somebody needs a favor. They have no idea you've had a rotten day. But that gave you the trigger. That was what lit the dynamite, and you just lay into them. Could you pick this up on your way? Oh, you expect me to be there? How am I going to be there? I have a flat tire. Okay. I can get the lemonade. Just if you were on your way. Because we don't always know the full story. Jesus would have had every right to have a crowd clamor around him and say, hey, I need a moment. My cousin is gone. The man I asked to baptize me was killed. But people clamored. And Jesus saw this massive crowd, and compassion poured out of him. And even in his devastation, he healed. He loved. He was present for those who needed him. In our world, frustration, stress, brokenness, disease hinders us. We gather it in our system until it overruns us. And then when we sit down with someone, we can be scrolling through our to-do list, we can be scrolling through our calendar, we can be scrolling through the bills that have to be paid, and miss here. Sometimes in my opening prayer, you'll notice I say, God, please let us set aside our schedules, please let us set aside the to-do list so that we can be present for worship. To have our hearts open and be blessed with ministry updates that maybe we've heard every week, but because we finally lifted our heart, oh, I could do that. I could absolutely be a prayer partner. You know what? I could share my talent of singing. In a couple weeks, we're going to do service, and it's kind of a talent showcase. And you can either share a song, share a prayer, share a story, share a skill if you are amazing in the kitchen and be like, I have a recipe for you that will delight everyone. It takes 3 ingredients and is 5 minutes long, but everybody will be like, I can't believe you made these for us again. Or you could just be present. That's a talent the world is destroying. I did say at the beginning I would offer show and tell. Was there anyone else who had some show and tell? I can't believe in my church that I have all the kids who are like, oh, I don't like show and tell. Some of you I know were eager in class, like, Friday, it's going to be show and tell day. Yes.
Okay. As a little girl, I thought you were going to tell my story last Sunday when you started out. But as a little girl, my grandma always taught me about the cardinal, that when you get to missing someone that's gone to heaven and you see a, she would say red bird, but it's called the red bird, that the red bird would be someone that you love that's come back to visit. Well, I wore my Alaska shirt today in honor of this. But I was in the airport. Well, first of all, that morning at home, we didn't leave to the airport till 2 o'clock. So I opened the door, and outside in the front yard was the red bird. When you live in a house all by yourself for 7 years almost, you get to talk to these people.
That. Thank you. Any others? I love that. Any others? Next week we are focusing on prayer. If you still have a show and tell, you've been on the fence, you don't necessarily have to have the item to show. Sometimes that's just easier. But a part of your story you want to share, that is a prayer in itself, to connect, to love. It lets us know where you're at. And in this feeding of the 5,000, I felt Jesus was like, show up, even when you don't want to. But show up in presence. Sit down, make room, make time. And make it work. They didn't have a lot of food for 5,000. And so the end, why that scripture says men and women and children, that could be up to roughly 15,000. That the 5,000 men, because the men and the women and children would sit in separate locations. And it's easy in ministry to have the world pull apart. That's not going to work. That's just not how it is. And that when we make that commitment, how God will honor it. Because we'll put out something like, oh, we should do this event. We should do this yard sale. We should have an extra worship. And we might be gung-ho when we're all in presence and that enthusiasm together. And what? Is it maybe 20 minutes after you leave the church? Oh, I can't do that. I've got a full week that week. Or, oh, I hope this isn't the group project where I get all the work and everybody else just takes the grade. And the world will tear it apart of why it won't work. But make sure you're still listening to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's times I feel that God's gone, woohoo, I did not approve this. This is not what I thought would be working. But it's so often that God says, I know it seems big, but remember, I'm bigger. And even what you would call as a failure is still successful in my eyes. If we commit to make it work. I'd like to just tell you a short story about a video. I don't watch a lot of social media videos. I know I'll go down the rabbit hole and could just be lost there. But about 5-6 years ago, I saw one of a performing artist. Her name is Marina Abramovic. And in the 70s, she was in a romantic relationship with another performing artist known as Yule. Performing art is doing not necessarily a skit, but action, movement, usually is interactive with people. A performing artist would be if you go down to a big downtown and they paint themselves like a statue. That, in one way, is performing art. Well, they were in a romantic relationship for 12 years, and they would both agree 9 years was perfect. That last 3 was toxic. And so in those years together, they would work together as being performing artists. One of their early works I saw was one like patted the cheek, the other one patted the other one's cheek, and it got a little harder and a little harder until they were slapping each other, which is very uncomfortable. But that's kind of what performing art is to get you to react, to give you an emotion. And one of their big things they were gonna do is one would leave one side of the Great Wall of China and the other one would go from the other side and they'd meet in the middle and get married. But because of all that was involved, this was a very lengthy process to get permission. 5 years they waited and talked and negotiated with governments. And this went from when their relationship was loving and amazing to we're not working anymore. So they changed it. Instead of meeting in the middle for being present and having the wedding ceremony, that they would give their goodbye kiss and leave and never make plans to see each other again. And so they did go through the Great Wall of China. They dated kind of in the 70s and met for their final kiss and left. They both continued in the performing arts space. 30 years pass. I think this was in 2010. Marina Abramovic made the decision to be the artist is present, is what this was called. And she would sit in a chair and then a table about the size of this pulpit. She sat on this end and a guest could sit here for 1 minute. This was the rule that it was a 1 minute parameter. You could not speak. I'm guessing sometimes this individual might have said hello or out of those instincts, but she would not respond. And the only real expression she shared was her eyes. And what they would show, how some people you could tell like a true love in that minute of just gazing into their eyes. If you ever are trying to reconnect with someone, to do that for a minute or 2 minutes, even a partner, a spouse, a child, a friend, it's pretty intense to not speak and just look eye to eye. Some people would cry. Some people, this might be the only kindness they've had all day. Some people, you could tell, just let out a confession in a way, like let just unburden their spirit. And so she would reset in between the people as they sat down and closed her eyes. And she was resetting so that she could be present for this next minute. While Yu lay without telling anyone, who she had not seen in 30 years, 3 decades, sat the other side. And he adjusted himself and prepared himself. And when she opened her eyes, you could tell she recognized him immediately. Tears swarm her eyes, and in response, his eyes filled up. And they just stared at each other. And you could tell she was resisting every human urge to stand up, to hug, to say something. But she is an artist, and she keeps to her rules. And overwhelmed, she finally reached across the table and gave her hands. And the way the chairs are set up, you can tell they were never really meant to reach. And he stretched out his hands, and they're both on the edges of their seat, and for about 20 seconds just held hands. I can't tell you the conversations that passed, and I would say it's probably closer to almost 2 minutes. And he released and walked away. When something of quality, a minute, can change a lifetime, healing can take place, a blessing can be shared, love can be known when we are fully present. That, I think, is what we can take from the ministry of Jesus. Sometimes you have to do with a phone call or FaceTime and make it count. But when we can gather together, share that face-to-face, and make that choice to love in the moment. I invite you to be present as we take communion together.